Hello and welcome to the FEZ show. Can you believe it? It's race week. Finally, the Mexico E-Prix is on its way this weekend. And joining me on the show, as always, is Mr. Jack Pickering and Edward Hunter. Boys, how are we? Can you believe it? Race week.
Here we go. Another new season ahead of us. Can't wait. Very happy new year to the both of you. It's Mexico, baby. We go this weekend.
Ed, how are you?
I'm good. I've just come off Joshua Birch's own very, very similar show. So I apologize to people who are listening it in either order if I say similar points, but I'm the same person, so I can't help it. But I'm really looking forward to Mexico. It's been a very long, very, very challenging off season, as all off seasons are. And I'm really glad to see both of you again, talk about it, get it underway, and get into the details.
Yeah, but first things first, right, before we get on the way of the show, bit of housekeeping for us. Monday after the race, a live stream on YouTube, not Twitch, because we did Twitch once upon a time, but on YouTube, me and Pico will be hosting the FE Bar, where yes, you can come on the show and have your say on the race. Our aim is to have as many people come on, tell us what they think of the race, what they think for the season, and just hear your views. Effectively, it's your show. The show literally will not work without you. So if you want to join, make sure you hit the Discord link in the description below. Join the Discord. Tons of people have already. We're really, really, really looking forward to Monday. We cannot wait for it. And obviously we cannot wait for the race as well. But
Jack will be hosting it. I will be pulling the pints.
Yeah, that's what's going to be happening. But as I said, it's a nice casual show where you are the most important people on the show, not me and Pico. It's all about your views. And if you want to talk formally to us, give us your views to the whole world, come and do it, basically. But anyway, as typical formally, with something quite good, something quite bad, then I think the main bit of news that we've got to talk about is Hyderabad, because a lot of talk, and I do feel for Formula E in this sense that they've worked hard. It was kind of circumstances, Ed, I'll go to you on this first, that was kind of out of their hands. Government change, the new government don't want to spend, want to try and recruit the money that they're spending on Formula E and spend it elsewhere, which is understandable. But for Formula E, it now means that we've got a bit of a 7-week gap after Diriyah. Which is not great, just a bit reminiscent of the old seasons. What's your thoughts on the whole situation, Ed?
I think it's a bit of a mess, as these things usually tend to be. And like you say, I think it wasn't something that Formula E really could have predicted, because you can't really influence the outcome of an election. That's the sort of thing that gets you in prison. but yeah, this new government that's taken charge, they've pretty much had it out for the race in Hyderabad, the E-Prix, since the beginning. What probably didn't help the previous incumbent government was situations like when we went to, when we were there last year, and we had, I think it was even before the race or before qualifying, where commuters were still didn't know that the race was happening and were trying to get through the track to get to work, essentially, and marshals let them through, and it was a bit of a mess, and Scott Elkins basically had to delay the session by a long time to sort all of that out, and we didn't know what was happening until much later, of course, but so, yeah, I don't think that really helped the previous government's case for holding on to the race, essentially. And as you said, there was also a financial argument, although how much of that, I mean, the race brought in an awful lot of money, 84 billion Indian dollars or whatever the currency is in India. I forget.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sorry to interrupt you, but this was the thing I was thinking of in terms of just making sense, right? Because obviously there's a contractual obligation for between Formula E and Hyderabad, and if there is no race, then you'd assume Hyderabad will have to then pay said money back to Formula E. So surely if they wanted to spend the money elsewhere, spending it to Formula E doesn't, to me, didn't make sense. Like, you're kind of, well, you're shedding out money unnecessarily, potentially. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I suppose you do get all sorts of different promotional arrangements and in Formula E, and I think maybe I don't think the race was that unpopular with local people, though. And I feel like this new government that's come in seems to be claiming that it wasn't popular, when I don't think there's a lot of statistics or evidence that really backs that up. But I think whichever way you look at it, it's the fans really that lose out in India especially, but also just Formula E in general. And it's a shame, because we had a similar thing that happened with Jakarta, isn't it? We talked about in a previous show with all the stuff going on there, and it means we're down to 16 races, a lot of them being double headers in the end, So it's not the end of the world, but I think it's not ideal. And of course, it's too short notice for me. I think, unfortunately, to get a replacement in time. Marrakesh, unfortunately, couldn't quite get on speed dial quickly enough to organize a replacement. So we'll have to make. There's going to be a long gap in between. I think it's Diriyah and race two and whatever is our new round four in the championship now.
Yeah, Pico, that's what I was going to talk to you about. I was going to talk to you about the replacement and the Marrakesh sort of idea that sort of was touted. It's kind of a shame that that didn't work out. It kind of makes sense that it was a short time period, but I suppose this has been rumbling on for a while. I think maybe, but then I suppose can you put a city, an entire city on call effectively? Like, by the way, we could be coming to you like in October, for example, or November, but we don't know really yet. And we get to January, and we're like, okay, you ready for us? I suppose you couldn't really do that to a city.
Well, yeah, but what it really begs the question is when Cape Town was not announced on the calendar for that was the second iteration of the calendar. Why they didn't phone up Marrakesh, go, right, 26th of Feb, we're going to come and we're going to do a race. It made perfect sense. And from what we've heard, like a lot of effort was pumped into both Hyderabad and Tokyo for season 10. And so I'm not sure if that was sort of like swept under the carpet or forgotten about. It honestly, as much as I love Formula E, wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, now we are stuck with this big gap between Diriyah and Sao Paulo, and it's frustrating with the whole situation in Hyderabad. Yeah, it's frustrating. I can see Formula E kicking up a big fuss about it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have something similar to the outcome, a bit like what we have with Battersea Park, whereas like we have to go back, but it will be one more time, and then that will be done. Yeah, but yeah, it's frustrating that Marrakesh isn't available quick enough, but yeah, no, it is a very short period of time. I know that they got it very ready in a short period of time when Vancouver dropped off the calendar in season 8. And that was in July, but thankfully we had a very cool weekend. It was only 34 degrees and not 45 like the other weekends in July. But yeah, no, it's disappointing because we've lost another race to it, and yeah, we're back down to 16 instead of 17 for season 10.
I feel I disagree slightly about Battersea. I think a more appropriate analogy to it would be Montreal, where there was a mayoral election, and Valerie Plante, I think, was the mayor, was campaigning on a platform. Part of her platform was basically, we will cancel this race because I think she sensed that it was deeply unpopular. And in the end, Formula E ended up suing the city, and there's been rumblings about that happening with Hyderabad as well. So we'll have to hope things can be settled out amicably. They were in the end with Montreal. They didn't have to pay quite as much, I think, as was initially reported in a sort of legal settlement, effectively, because when you sign a multi-year contract, you've got to fulfill it inevitably. So I think there's more on this to come, essentially.
Yeah, that's my bad. I didn't translate that one. I meant in terms of like, because we never went back to Montreal afterwards. I do feel like we will go back to Hyderabad, a bit like how we went back to Battersea. That's what I meant. I didn't mean it in like a political way.
Yeah,
That
because
that's my bad. Sorry, Ed.
yeah, you are right, because I've seen teams already like tweet out like, oh, you win, we'll see you in season 11, and it just feels weird. And that's something I want to talk about, because we said like, see you in season 11. Like, I remember Maserati, I think it was Maserati who tweeted that, and you're like, will we though? Like, surely now, between now and February next year, right, there's going to be negotiations, there's going to be lawyers talking in the background. And if the Hyderabad government, Ed, don't want this, they're going to try and find a way to get out of it if they can. And then Formula E are kind of in a situation a bit like Cape Town is gone, the way Paris is gone, all these places that we said that they were going to come back, and then probably not going to come back. In the case with Paris, never came back, but obviously that was because the government wanted 20 million for them to race. But Formula E pitched the idea that, we are going to go back to Paris, but that never came about. Pico.
I just want to say that Cape Town will more than likely be back for next year. It's just that they needed a year off, but I believe they've got a 10-year contract that will continue from season 11.
Well, fingers crossed for Formula E, because at the rate when a race drops off, a race coming back on the calendar that's dropped off and coming back, saying that they're going to come back is not high. Ed, what are your views on that?
Yeah, I do you remember what Gag used to say about the first series of Formula E that they had? Oh, well, we got all these on the calendar, but we had a big list of other races. And I feel like somebody's gone in with a big marker pen and had to cross them off each time they drop off the calendar. And I feel like we've got ended up with a very, very red board with crossed off names at the moment. But yeah, I think it's just not good for Formula E in general, in a sense. Obviously, there's only so much you can control, but and it might be one of the reasons why we've ended up with a calendar with a lot more sort of permanent circuits. You think Shanghai's modified Shanghai International Circuit. We've got Mexico City coming up this weekend, of course, as well, and a couple other races as well. I don't know. I feel like I agree with what you say, Jack, when people say oh, season 11 will be back. It's very, very optimistic from people who maybe don't necessarily have to handle the commercial side of the thing. I know Alberto Longo, if you read the statement from Romilly, like Jeff Dodds, the CEO, was like slamming the Indian government in Hyderabad. And it was extraordinary to me. I've never seen that sort of thing happen. Usually when a race gets cancelled, they try and keep everything behind closed doors. And this felt very out in the open, dirty laundry in public. And I think maybe that's not necessarily good for Formula E either.
Yeah, and going to your point at the beginning, right? The point I wanted to raise was like I remember the days where like a gag would say, "Oh yeah, we've got all these cities waiting in the wings, and if someone falls, we'll just pick one of them, and we got all this list, and we'll just phone them up. Okay, look, we've got space for you." But it just doesn't feel like that anymore. It doesn't feel like there was always stories. Copenhagen, Vancouver nearly happened, but Vancouver was one of them that was flirting. Dublin once upon a time was flirted to be interested in having a Formula E race, and you get all these cities that were like, "Oh yeah, we'd have one. We'll have one. We're interested. We're interested. We're interested." And then when push comes to shove, it feels like actually, like how many cities are actually open to Formula E? And that there may still be a list. It may just things might be feasible. Like Eindhoven, like we had a whole press conference with Robin Freins actually attended to for a Dutch EPRI trying to raise interest there. That hasn't happened. So it's all these cities, but like, at the end of the day, you want a calendar, and we want a diverse calendar. And I think we do have a diverse calendar. We touch a lot of different continents, and we go to a lot of cool places. But there's, as I said, a lot of that is because, and we've got this 16 races, but half of them are double headers. It would be cool to have 16 races with three or four double headers and lots of cool cities that we go to with a one-stop race. But that's that. That's Hyderabad. So I suppose we should move on to the next main talking point, Pico, and that is attack charge. Now, in Valencia, I kind of made a big deal, and I'm going to make a big deal of attack charge here, and I think we'll make a big deal of it when we speak to you guys on Monday about attack charge. Obviously, being delayed to Misano, what are your thoughts on that? I think it's probably the right decision, especially with going back and listening to the likes of Ian James and Frederick Bertrand and Florian Monninger and Roger Griffiths, everyone who did comment it in Valencia. I think they've made the right decision, but there's rumblings like that drivers are thinking, "Oh, just if you've delayed it this much, just delay it till season 11." Is it crucial to you that we get this technology into the race as not as quickly as possible, but actually, it was supposed to be in last season, didn't happen. It was supposed to be in this season. We can't delay it 2 years. Surely we need to get this technology on track, or is it more sensible to, wait till season 11?
I think firstly we need to make sure that all the systems are safe to run and everything, and that everything and there's no issues, and that's what the driver's concern is. I know that Mitch Evans has said that he'd rather it wait till season 11 to see what something is and that to make sure that everything's sort of like ironed out and made sure everything's good. And I know that there are countless numbers of drivers that have also said that. For me, I'd like to see it soon because I'm one of these people who was a bit cynical about the style of racing that we had in the season 9, and so with the attack charge pit, so I do feel that it would break the races up a bit, and I feel like it would make it a bit more interesting to watch. But if they can't do it this season, I won't lose any sleep over it, but I'd rather not see races like Portland, where I feel that an aeroplane crash was not too far away at all.
Yeah, for me, it's interesting for me how attack charge is going to be played out, because when the idea of attack charge, I thought, we'd have a slightly longer race, because obviously I don't understand the point of, well, these cars can go 45 minutes on one charge, so if we are putting an attack charge pit stop in, then surely we don't want, I don't, do we want flat out races? Are they, I know that they've massively reduced the energy for, I think it's like 38.2 or 4 kilowatts an hour, that from the amount of battery that can actually be used in the race from the max. So they've cut it massively, which they could do to keep it 45 minutes races, so it's really short. But I thought that's not I don't think that goes back to season one for me, where the car can only go 20 minutes. You kind of want the car to go 45 minutes and then do a 25 minute pit stop and only charge for that amount of time and then go potentially. Ed, what's your thoughts on that, and we'll go to Pico.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing you bring up because that was the whole point. That was the ethos of Gen 2, wasn't it? Effectively, to get away from having to swap the driver, having to jump into a different car in the middle of the race. And now we've got a situation where the cars are going to come in for and then stop for about 30 seconds while they get recharged, which I think that's still pretty good if we look at where the technology is at the moment. And I think that's got it's there's a road relevancy element to how people charge cars on the roads, essentially. Like, say you stop at a service station and you plug it in for a while while you go have a sandwich or something, but or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think in terms of how they get that across on TV, it's going to be interesting because we had it pointed out, we could have a situation where the cars that stop first could end up being a lap down, and then we have cars stop later. I think as long as they show who's pitted as on a graphic on screen
Yeah.
or just pit or something like that. I think that should make it fairly simple. Hopefully, someone at Formula E has thought of that, because if not, this is going to be
Yeah.
it won't. Misano will be difficult to follow. Mexico will be fine because they're not doing it there, apart from in the free practice, of course, which will be interesting because it'll be the first time a lot of the customer teams actually get to try out the fast charging, because it's only the manufacturers in the sort of private tests and a bit of Valencia so far. So they've had sort of priority because it's sort of built around charging their
Yeah.
powertrains, essentially.
The customer teams have, though, because Maserati have definitely, lots of customer teams
That's true.
have
Maserati
used.
has a weird thing, doesn't it? Where they're
Right,
technically a manufacturer, even though they use the same hardware as DS,
they've
because
done
it's
it.
not DS.
I think most customer teams have used, maybe not on all
I think
cars,
it
but
was
most customer
by
teams have
Valencia
in
they had.
Valencia.
Yeah, I'm getting confused.
Everyone had a go in Valencia. Everyone
That's
had a go in Valencia. There were only eight charging things, but everyone had a go at some point. So
yeah.
it's okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and the other thing is
but
that each team only has one, so they can't pit both drivers at the same time. So, like,
yeah,
say if you've
that's
got
true.
Mitch
Double.
Evans, Nick Cassidy fighting for the lead, one of them is going to have to pit first, one of them pit after, and that could end up with a bit of acrimony between the two if they're fighting
Also,
for that lead of a championship.
that'll be interesting under virtual safety cars and safety cars. Like, if
Yeah, I would
someone's
just,
prioritised.
I would hopefully ban it for that. But anyway, what I wanted to bring up was a point that Ed made at the beginning, and then Pico, you can continue. It was when you're talking about how races were hard to follow, and I'm like, we've had this situation. We had car swaps from season one to four where tracks were short and they did go a lap down. Well, they would go fall back to like 13th or 14th or 15th place, but then within the next lap or two, it kind of all sort of sorted itself out. So only for like a lap or two. I understand the point that, oh yeah, it's not good to see this, but we had this. It was in season one to four. I don't think Formula E fans, especially hardcore Formula E fans who followed it for a long time, maybe the newer ones, all right, they might need to, by the way, this did happen once upon a time. But for me, as a person who's seen pretty much every Formula E race, I don't think a pit stop where it's 30 seconds long is a problem for me, and I'm not really worried if they're going to get blue flags. Okay, it'd be annoying that they'd have to, but then that comes down to timing, right? And finding gaps, but and your strategy and so forth. But Pico, what did you want to say?
I mean, like, if you've watched a MotoGP flag-to-flag race, it's no different, really. So someone's come in on one lap, someone comes in on the next lap to switch bikes. I mean, there's no real difference. But yeah, the thing is with the amount of power, I mean, like, they're not going to come in on 3% like it was back in the olden days. They're going to come in, charge up maybe like 20% of power, then go again. It's not going to be too extreme. And but the thing is, like, they and as you guys alluded to earlier, they have reduced the power. Like, the power unit can take up to 50 some 57 52 54 some of the kilowatts of power. And for most races last year, that was reduced down to 40 kilowatts of power. For London, it was reduced to 25, which is 2 kilowatts of power less than one Gen 1 car, which was frankly ridiculous. The fact that they reduced it for London so much that it was less than what we had in the very first race back in Beijing. And so, yeah, it's yeah, it's obviously an interesting concept, and it's going to be fun to see it when it does get implemented. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
It is indeed. I think for the championship, if I was thinking on a sporting side of things, I think for me, it's probably best to delay it to season 11 to do half a championship with and without it. It will change. It will change how a championship is kind of run. You're going to have all these races, whether they're Peloton style, we don't know. We're not expecting Mexico to be Peloton style because of the slipstream and the altitude. They're not expecting that race to be a Peloton style race. It's more traditional Formula E race. But obviously, you're not got it. Then you've got it. And then, you know, a driver could be doing really well. Let's say Jake Dennis, he's defending his title brilliantly. And then it comes to Misano and or the race, you know, Portland or something like that, or even London, and something goes wrong with the attack charge that wasn't there before. And, you know, he's lost the championship, not because of an attack charge mistake or something bad's happened, but, you know, they're doing something. And you might say, well, we weren't doing this then, so it's not fair that the race's style has changed. That could be something that, and I think that's what the drivers are potentially saying, maybe Pico, for, you know, why they kind of want it to maybe be delayed for the whole season rather than bringing it being put up in halfway through.
Yeah, that's a shout, but at the same time, like, I think what would be fair is if it was introduced, say it's introduced in Misano, have it only on the Sunday race and have it for all the rest of the double races, double header races, but just on the Sunday race. And so it gets like quietly introduced, a bit like how the sprints were introduced into Formula One. And yes, I'm sure every man and his dog's got an opinion about the sprint and whether it's good or bad and everything, but it was slowly introduced. It happened with three races and it happened with six races, and it's not going to go to every single race in Formula One, but at the same time, I think it'd be good if it's just set over like a few rounds this year. As soon as they got it sorted, announce those rounds where they're going to try attack a charge, and then we'll go from there. And so everyone knows that it's happening and knows that it's coming, and Formula E have actually announced something, you know?
Yeah. I think from a technological standpoint, which is what I was saying to the team principals back in Valencia, I was like, you have to get this on track. It's the whole point of Formula E is to, you know, have road relevance and do things that will help us in the future when we buy our electric cars. That we can, yeah, exactly. That's the whole point, right, of this series. And they were moaning about the sporting side, and I was like, but guys, like, this is what you're here to do. Like, don't forget that this is what you're here to do, right? So for me, I was just like, not get it on as fast as possible, but get it right. Like, make sure it's right and start using it. And I think it's so important because Gen 4 isn't far away, right? It's crazy to think about. I know it's a couple of years in the future, but we can't go through Gen 3 without actually utilizing Gen 3. Like, we haven't, you know, as Florian Monninger said, he said that the cars are capable of being charged at 600 kilowatts an hour and can regen at that 600 kilowatts an hour too. But the car, so far, we haven't even got close to even using that potential of the Gen 3 car to make it road relevant, and then we're thinking about ditching it in a couple of years time for Gen 4. So that's my only type of grievance with Ed.
Yeah, and we've also got Gen 3 Evo apparently coming up in season 11 as well, which will be interesting to see. But I agree. I think a lot of the teams and drivers, obviously they kind of got a vested interest in things not changing, essentially, because it's an extra complication for them to think about from the sporting side, but from, you know, not just the fan side, but also from the road relevancy side, it's absolutely crucial. And I think I sort of agreed also what Pico said, that I sort of would prefer it being gradually introduced in just Sunday races rather than just all the doubleheader being exactly the same with attack charge in it. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
When Formula E was introduced, all those years ago, do you remember when Formula E was introduced? It was fantastic back in the day, weren't it?
Yeah.
10 years ago, yeah, no, I'm getting on a bit now, aren't we all? Yeah, it's, but yeah, it was supposed to be a sport that innovates. It wasn't designed to be a it was a sport that so much errs away from being a sport and more towards being a development race, really, in terms of try and we've seen that with each car, like the first generation of Formula E cars, it's an electric racing car. Second generation, we don't need to use a second car anymore. And then the third generation was all based around this tack charge thing. And so yeah, if it needs to be utilized, and if it's not used this season, it needs to be from race one of season 11 minimum. And I think that's the absolute deadline that it needs to be done by. Because if it's not done by then, what's been the real point of Gen 3? It hasn't really done doesn't really change anything from Gen 2 to Gen 3.
It's just, yeah, we've got a little bit faster. It's true. That's what I mean. It's just like, that's why, we've gained all these Gen 4 type, people like Bridgestone potentially being the tire manufacturer for Gen 4, and all this news about Gen 4, and we haven't actually, finished with Gen 3. And it's just like, actually, maybe we should hold our horses a little bit, make sure that we're, as you said, the point of this car is actually done. But let's move on to our season preview, and talk about what we think is going to happen this season, which is fun. Because we're always wrong, cough, cough, Max Gunther. But I think we're surely down. Like, most of the drivers seem to be pretty clear, right? That we're going to be in for a similar season to what we had last year, and that's obvious because the powertrains were homologated, and they're only going to touch the software this time. So for me, you're expecting the same result. However, drivers have changed. Drivers can keep better, drivers can develop, things can happen, and that software development could be key, right, to maybe make things closer or for teams to potentially catch up. Is there anyone that you're expecting to catch up? Who do you think's going to be, what do you think's going to happen? Who's the main shout for you at the moment?
Well, I think the obvious pick has got to be the Jaguar powered cars. Obviously, you've got the super team, Mitch Evans, Nick Cassidy at the factory Jaguar team. And then you've got Robin Freins moving from APT to Envision, which is very, very promising, alongside Sebastian Buemi. So I think both of those teams are going to continue to be strong, along with Andretti. And I think Porsche is going to be the really interesting one because they underdelivered in the back end of last year in qualifying. In terms of other teams that could challenge them, I think, you really can't rule out DS and Maserati because I think they're the team that really had the most to gain on the software front, and Nissan as well to an extent as well, with their powertrain also being in the McLaren, and Nissan have also got Oliver Rowland back with them this season, who's an amazing qualifier. So and of course McLaren got Sam Bird, and we know exactly how good Sam Bird is as well. So and not to forget Norman Nato getting on board the Porsche as well, which will be fascinating to see how he gets on in the Andretti team. So yeah, I think lots of chat. I think if I was to go for one individual, I think is going to win Drivers' Championship in season 10, I think I would go for Robin Freins, because I think after breaking his hand at this very same race last year, I think he's going to be really, really hungry to sort of make amends. And I think there was always a sense he didn't quite get what he wanted to out of his last stint at Envision. And it's all the same people there, so he'll settle in fairly quickly, I assume. And I think that's going to be a big, big story to watch this year.
Yeah, Pico, not in terms of the championship and what do you expect? Are you expecting this to be the closest season? Are you expecting the likes of DS to potentially, catch up software wise and be part of that fight, or are we expecting, the Porsche and Jaguar powertrain cars to run away with it this season?
Well, DS was the shock of the season last year, the fact that they weren't almighty like we were expecting it after pre-season testing. And after pre-season testing last year, Porsche were nowhere, and we hit Mexico and they finished, they had three of their cars in the top four. It's yeah, I mean, it's typical Formula E. You've got no idea what's going to happen. I will say though, if Jaguar don't win the constructors this year, I think that they have to look at that and say that is a failure, because they have signed Nick Cassidy over from the customer team to be into the to be in the factory team alongside Mitch Evans, who has been their lead driver since day dot, and they were both fighting for the championship last year. So for Jaguar, if they do not win the team's championship, I genuinely worry about what they will do afterwards. But in terms of the Drivers' Championship, obviously it's going to be quite close again. Jake will want to defend his crown. So will Ed with his predictions. But yeah, I mean, I reckon Da Costa, second year in the Porsche, he's got to be fighting for the title. Same with Pascal. Yeah, Jev, Stoff, your man Max, Jack. It's Formula E. Why do we
Yeah.
bother?
Who's it a big season for though, in terms of actually you said there Jev and Stoff.
Roland. I reckon it's a big year for Roland
okay,
because he gets back to Nissan, and Nissan proved quick in places last year. So if he's not at least top 10 in the championship, that, yeah.
I actually think Ed, it's a big year for those two DS drivers because it's kind of an end of an era, right? You've got Jean-Éric Vergne and Stoffel Vandoorne. They're two champions of the series, but you're thinking about where would they go. You've got Mitch Evans and Nick Cassidy, formidable at the moment, right? Obviously Porsche have got Wöhrlein and Da Costa. They're probably not going to get in there because they're factory DS drivers at the moment. And if DS were to struggle, you're thinking Vergne and Vandoorne, they don't want to, I don't know if they want to be midfield runners. They want to be fighting for championships. And if it's another season, they're not gonna, I don't think they jump ship. So they're kind of relying on DS, I think, those two drivers to make sure they get it right.
Yeah, we know Jean-Éric Vergne is very, very well liked by DS. He's been their sort of figurehead in Formula E. They'll go where he goes, essentially. Like, they followed him from Tichita to Penske, and they followed him from DS, Virgin, as it was known then. Now it's Envision, to Tichita in the first place. So I think Jev is probably going to stay put no matter what. Stoffel Vandoorne, interestingly, he's got his hypercar drive in the World Endurance Championship all lined up, hasn't he? So I wonder if Stoffel Vandoorne, yeah, it could be a big year for him potentially, because he's not really had a whole lot of success since winning season 8, hasn't he, at Penske so far. So I think DS, we know how strong they are, but it's proving that in Gen 3 is proving to be a real world big problem for them. So we'll have to see if their software is up to par.
What about Sandbird, Pico? Is this, make or break this season? He's got to perform well against Jake Hughes. If not, could this be Sandbird's last year in Formula E?
I was about to say make or break. I don't think it'll be his last year in Formula E. Personally, I don't see him staying around till Gen 4. But this will be his last sort of stint, so be it, I think. I think this is where Sam will call it quits in a few seasons' time. But I do reckon that this will be a good start for Sam. And a fresh start, because I think that's what he needed after the Jaguar years. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic for Sam. Whether he's going to be fighting for the title, I don't think so. Whether he can get a few podiums, I think he can. Maybe a win, but even then, I'm not too sure, because the field is so packed, and so we'll see. But if he can end the season, at least top 10, then that'd be fantastic for him.
Dasha Fenestraz. Dasha Fenestraz for me is my breakthrough prospect. And that's what I wanted to ask you. I think he was kind of a breakthrough prospect last year, but I think he's going to be one of these drivers in this Nissan. I reckon, we talk about Sam Bird there. He went up against Mitch Evans. Mitch Evans has proved to be some sort of like dynamite Formula E driver, and Sam Bird can live up to it, unfortunately for Sam. I think Sasha Fenestraz will do something similar to Oliver Rowland. I think Sasha Fenestraz had, he was a fabulous rookie last season. And I think he's going to build on that, Ed. And for me, I think he could be someone who really shines this season. Is there anyone else that you think could really shine? Or do you agree with me that Sasha Fenestraz could be that person?
I certainly wouldn't rule out Sasha. His pole laps in Cape Town last year, that was an incredible pole lap. But Monaco, that should have been a pole lap, but ended up going to Jake Hughes due to shenanigans and none of the laps counting. That was actually a pretty solid run up until the little incident at the chicane, of course. Only other breakthrough I can think of off the top of my head, I think even though the car's not very efficient, I think Dan Ticktum's going to have another strong year, doing a lot of giant killing feats in that ERT team, as it's now called. And I think that's going to be very, very exciting to see how him and Sergio Seto Câmara get on, because I think Dan Ticktum could be someone going places in Formula E in future seasons.
Pico, who do you think your breakthrough prospect could be?
I think I'm gonna have to agree with Sasha. I think Sasha could genuinely have a really good season this year. I think it's gonna be interesting to see Mahindra. Obviously, they came off their worst season in the sport. They've now signed Nyck de Vries, who's come back to the series, and Edo Mortara. They finished 1 and 2 in the championship in season 7. I mean, it's a formidable lineup. And so it's a weird one to say that Edo Mortara and Nyck de Vries will be the breakout stars, but I reckon that they'll have a much better season with Mahindra than they did last year.
I suppose we have to talk about Jehan Dhruvala. I suppose he's the only rookie on the field this season. And I suppose going back to the whole Hyderabad thing, he probably would have been quite disappointed that he's lost his home race as well as obviously Mahindra to losing their home race. Pico, Jehan Dhruvala is kind of, what does he have to do? What's a good season for Jehan Dhruvala?
I think he's got a solid car. So he will, as long as he picks up points over the course of the year. I think people were a little bit surprised at his signing. But I think that was the whole Edo's gone to Mahindra panic. Let's sign Jayan instead. But that's nothing to disservice Jayan Dhruvala. He's a fantastic driver. He's won multiple Formula 2 races. And was a solid championship contender for the first half of 2022, if my memory served me correctly. And so, yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic for Jehan. Then the fact that he's got a solid car as well means that, like, he has the opportunity to pick up some points. We know how tough Formula E is, so we're not expecting him to jump in and set the world alight. But yeah, if he can get a few point scoring finishes. Even if he scores like half the amount of points of what Max does, I think that's still a solid year for him. It's a learning year for him, and he's the only one, so he can't and so he can't be compared to any other rookie. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a baptism of fire, but yeah, and the fact that he's lost his own race, that's a shame. Mahindra will be gutted as well, as will Jaguar, being mostly owned by Tata. But yeah, I'm sure he'll have a fun season regardless. He's been looking at Formula E for a while, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Jehan will do.
Yeah, do you agree with that? Ed points is basically what Dhruvala and being close to Maximilian Gunther. Maximilian Gunther starts winning and he's finishing 10th. Yeah, it might be good he's getting points, but then obviously he'll be looking like he's being a bit outshone. So hopefully he could just match Maxi Gunther.
Well, I think the first couple of Mexico especially is going to be a bit of a baptism of fire for him, because it's one thing doing all those tests, but he's only done that one real test race in inverted commas in Valencia. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, especially qualifying too, because that's really when he's going to be driving the car at full tilt. And the Maserati we know is pretty solid. I don't think did he have a pole position in Jakarta? Maximilian Gunther definitely won in Jakarta, but I'm pretty sure the Maserati never quite got into the finals in the duels. Two times is what Pico's signaling towards me. So yeah, the Maserati has a. Oh, they did get into the duels, the finale in Cape Town, didn't it? Because Gunther just lost out to Fenestraz. That was one of the quality performances I remember. So it will be interesting to see, because we know how quick Dhruvla was in Formula 2, whether he's able to replicate that. And in terms of energy management, it's going to be the big challenge for him as well, because that's again another new factor. And it's the same thing that all rookies struggle with. We saw how Jake Hughes struggled with it last year. Even guys like Fenestraz occasionally were caught out by it too. But yeah, I think as long as he gets some decent points finishes here and there, and he's consistent, which is the hardest thing to be in Formula E, then I think Jehan Dhruvala will feel somewhat pleased, even if he can't quite match up to what Gunther's performance is. And we know how quick he is, are able to deliver.
Yeah, Jake Huser was very quick out of the blocks, though, I must remember. So if he can do anything to just prove that he deserves that seat in the first couple of races, then I don't think it matters how much his season goes, because obviously if you could be quick, that's
Well, I
the
think of
most
Jake
thing.
Dennis, though. Remember where Jake Dennis had those horrible couple of races and then had an amazing run from Valencia onwards in season
Yeah,
two?
that's true. That's true. And yeah,
I
there was
don't
talk
think
about
he,
Dennis about
I don't
losing
think
his
he
seat potentially.
qualified higher than like 15th or something in those first few, right? In those first four or five races or so. He only got points in the first Valencia race because everyone it was the race with the shenanigans
And that's the lucky needed.
And then the next day stuck it on pole, led every lap, won the race, and then from there on out title
A star was
contender.
born.
Yeah,
A star was born.
exactly.
Star
So
was born.
yeah, you can't exactly judge in the first few races.
It's true though, but you can get a good impression, obviously, yes, you can develop, but you get a good impression. I'm thinking of drivers. I know they were not maybe great cars, trying to think of the Neo season four driver, his name has escaped my mind, Felipe, Luca Felipe. It never quite worked, did it? And
I
things
was
like that.
genuinely about to come on and say Sylvan or
Yeah.
something.
But yeah.
Oh
But
dear.
yeah,
Poor
but sometimes you just know, right? You just know if it's gonna work or if it's not gonna work. I think it's been the same with a couple of drivers that have come into Formula E and exited Formula E. But I think that is pretty much it for our season preview. Kind of think, interesting that I haven't really said who I'm going to win the title. Yeah, you're saying it's going to be Maxi Günther, but
No, I'm saying Mexico. We need to do
Mexico. Oh
Mexico
yeah, we
prediction.
could
We
do
need to do
Mexico. We
season
could. We could do.
prediction. We need to do season prediction. We need to do Mexico prediction. Come on,
All
Jack.
right.
You're dropping the ball
All
here.
right. Sorry. 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 Right. But you two kind of said yours earlier on. I haven't said mine. I do agree though. I do think Jaguar are the team to beat this season, but I think you feel like I want to say it's Mitch Evans's year, but I think Nick Cassidy going to Jaguar is massive. I really do. I think he was so good last year in the Envision, and I think he's really going to show his true colors. And I think he might blitz it. So I'm going to go for Cassidy. For me, I think that's kind of an obvious call. Although fingers crossed for Gunther. One day, but then Mexico. Then, well, I'm saying he's going to blitz it, so I'm going Cassidy to win. Any surprises from you two?
Not a surprise. I'm going Pascal Wehrlein for Mexico. It's a safe bet. It's a safe bet. I'm not budging from the safe bets. Yeah, title though. I think you're on something with Cassidy. I might join you with that one. Antonio thinks the cost of the title. There we go.
He doesn't win the first race. I thought you might go for him for the first race, right? Because the Costa kind of,
M
second,
maybe, maybe,
maybe,
yeah.
maybe, maybe.
It,
Same
uh, he,
car,
he
same
hasn't he
car.
hasn't had a great run of form. He got a podium for BMW Andretti.
But the
But yeah.
overtaking Cape Town, that's what we remember. That's what
Oh
we
my God,
remember. That's
yeah.
what we remember. Ed, who's winning?
Oof. Well,
Your predictions are pretty good though, so maybe we should put a bet
Drew.
on.
Well, I'm gonna
Jake
stick
Dennis, you
with.
got that right last year.
I
So
did, yes.
let's, whoever Ed says, go straight to the bookies, put a tenner on it. It should come in.
Okay. Are we going to edit
We
out
don't
earlier so this sounds more dramatic than it actually is? Because I think you know what I'm going to say.
promote gambling on Formula E Zone, but
Exactly.
do at
I
your own will.
do. Yes, I gamble on my own specific app that I've developed, Ed Predictor. Anyway, that's not real. Don't look for that. I think I'm going to stick with Robin Freins because I just have a good feeling about him. There's no logic to it other than the fact he's got a Jaguar powertrain in the back of that thing, and Robin is just an immense driver when he's like, immense, that's not a word. I'm destroying this sentence. And
I
I
do.
know earlier when you asked me who's going to win in Mexico, I said Mitch Evans. I think I'm going to switch to Jake Dennis because he just did so well there last year, and I think it's going to be a repeat.
Okay, interesting. Robin is interesting. I think Robin is the caveat of this season. Like,
He's
we
the
know how
wild
good
card,
he
baby.
is. I think he is. I think he is the wild card. I think he's the person that could throw the cat amongst the pigeons. As I say, with the likes of Jake Dennis and Nick Cassidy and Mitch Evans. In that Envision, I don't think too many people would be expecting an Envision potentially win the championship. I know they have the Jaguar, but you'd think Mitch Evans and Cassidy would have enough in them to see them off. But you can't count out Robin. You can't count out Robin. And it'll be really interesting to see how the season goes. I think it's going to be a brilliant season. I really do. I think there's so many good drivers in the in this sport and in this series that anything could happen. And I think that is a perfect place to wrap up the show. But a final announcement. If you've got this far, as we said at the beginning of the show, we will be live on Monday the 15th of January from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. taking your calls effectively, but not calls because you can't phone in. But we want us to join the Discord. So if you join the Formula E Zone Discord and join the waiting room on Monday the 15th of January between 8 and 10 p.m, we will try our very best to get you on the show to have your say on what happens on Saturday. We cannot wait to see you and hear from you on Monday. So please join for that live on YouTube from 8 o'clock on Monday. Boys, thank you so much for the show.
Cheers, mate. Enjoy the race, everyone.
Yep, I'm sure it's going to be another great season that we're going to remember for a long time to come.
Yep, so we've just had a Happy New Year, so now it's time for Happy New Season. Enjoy it. We've been the FEZ Show. We will see you very soon. Goodbye.